Welcome to RSN's Race Day.
Ready? Gates crash back in racing.
For the first hour, it's the first word. Here's Gareth Hall.
Yes, this is RSN Saturday Race Day on this Saturday, the 18th of September. Good morning to you listening on your local RSN 927 dial throughout Victoria. And hello to you wherever you may be listening. On the RSN 927 app, our sister channels right across the country, and of course on our brand new website at rsn.net.au. Well, there's nothing like a Group 1 handicap. 14 of the past 20 Sir Rupert Clark Stakes winners have carried 54.5 kilos or less. 12 horses fit that criteria this year, with Om Thunderstruck, God bless him, getting a start. But they will have to defeat some proven Group 1 performers up at the top of the weights, including Behemoth, who is looking to become the first horse to win the Spring, Memsie, and Sir Rupert Clark Stakes Treble in consecutive years. Not a bad buy for $6,000. And in Sydney, Nature Strip leads the shorts market in a fascinating race featuring the nation's best sprinters, while Very Elegant is the dominant favourite in the George Main. But depending on what form analyst you listen to, or what mate you've been talking to this week, she's either a good thing or she's vulnerable second up over the mile. I guess time will tell, but I can guarantee she will fight and she will try her heart out because that's what she does better than anyone. Hello, I'm Gareth Hall and welcome to RSN's coverage of Sir Rupert Clark Stakes Day.
Starting your day at the races, Gareth Hall and RSN 927's Race Day.
It's a beautiful day in Melbourne Town. Great to be with you on Sir Rupert Clark Stakes Day here. Looking forward to that meeting at Caulfield, of course. That handicap is the highlight there at the Heath, but it's a terrific support program. Up there in Sydney, we do have the shorts, but the Group 1 there is the George Main Stakes. So we'll preview those meetings in full today. The Melbourne Form Panel just after 8 o'clock with Dean Lester, Warren Huntley and David Gately, along with, of course, Nicholas Quinn. And then it's a big Randwick preview with David Gately, Lizzie Delfs, and Tommy Berry is back. We'll also preview the Gold Coast with Bart Sinclair. Nadia Horn looks at Morpheville, the highlight there, the Wiley handicap. Harry White takes a look at Tatura. Pete Antonis with the Belmont meeting. I'll take a look at the Ballarat Trots and the Meadows, of course, with Georgie Ferrugia. But the first word, we've got a host of the major players that will be joining us in the first hour. But it's time to head out to Caulfield to catch up with Jason Kerr for a track update. Good morning to you, Jason.
Morning, Gareth.
How much rain did you have overnight?
Had 2 mils overnight, so we sort of held off yesterday afternoon, but we got 2 millimetres about around about midnight, I think. So it's just what we needed, really, and the track presents in perfect order, rated at good four this morning.
Not a cloud in the sky as I look outside my window in Carlton. Do you expect any rain today, later on in the day?
The same as a chance of a shower, but as I say, it's a very blue sky here at the moment and clear, so fingers crossed we miss them, but it's not a lot of it. There might just be a passing shower, and then the north winds are expected to get up a bit later today, so that may come into play a little bit.
Now, Jason, what about the wind conditions?
Yeah, certainly the wind's tipping about 30 k's from the north-northwest today, which presents as a headwind down the side, so generally sort of jock stuck for a bit of cover coming down the side there if the north wind gets up, so that's probably the factor that'll come into play today. I think if we get a shower, it won't affect the track, and if that wind gets up this afternoon, it'll probably be the factor which determines the way races are run a little bit.
So we'll watch that closely, but if that wind does pick up, you're looking for horses with a little bit of cover, as you just pointed out.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. It hits them right in the face as they come off come into that side straight, and it's a bit of a buffeting crosswind on the turn and in the straight, but certainly the bulk of it seems to affect him coming down the side. And as I say, they sort of try and get him behind one and find a bit of cover.
Big month for Caulfield. So the rail's out 6 metres today.
Yeah, I had it, Dean. It's true. 3 weeks ago for Memsie at race 12. So he's pushed it out to six. Covers 100% of the wear. So he's got a mark outside of six. Been a great 3 or 4 weeks. Obviously, the spring weather's kicked in. So recovery and growth have been really good. So, yeah, track presents in perfect order. And we missed, obviously, next week the Underwood Stakes out at Sandown, which is an exciting day for Sandown, and we'll wait 3 weeks to Guineas Day where the rail will go back into the true, and then we'll leave it there for Cup Day. So, yeah, it certainly comes around quickly.
Any whispers around Caulfield this week, Jason?
Oh, not a couple. I think everyone's looking forward to seeing the three-year-old sort of progress up to the 1400, and obviously Bohemoth, he might be one of those rare horses. The 1400 at Caulfield might be especially, so I think the boat, all the three races, great interest from all round. So, James Cummings bought three or four out on Tuesday. Most of them worked well. So, I'll be surprised if he doesn't have a winner somewhere during the day.
Good on you, Jason. Good luck, mate.
Thanks, Gareth.
There's Jason Kerr there. Time to head up to Sydney to catch up with Nevesh Ramdani for a look at the Sydney track at Rural Randwick. We're back at headquarters there for their Group 1 meeting, highlighted by the George Main Stakes. Hello to you, Nevesh.
Good morning to you, Gareth.
Good to be back at Randwick.
Yeah, look, it's been a busy time in Sydney. The race program has been, very busy at Randwick given the COVID restrictions. But, look, so far the track's handled it really well, and we've had the weather's been a bit up and down. Last week was beautiful and we thought it was summer, and then it turned a bit cool and rainy early in the week, and we've landed on a soft 5 track with a penetrometer of 5.42 today.
What about the conditions up there in Sydney today? Do you expect an upgrade?
Oh, look, the forecast is for it to get to 26, but earlier this morning it was really clear and it looked good, but there's a little bit of cloud building up, so the forecast is for a partly cloudy day, getting up to a maximum of 26. But importantly, as Jason just mentioned then in his report, in very similar conditions wind-wise for Randwick, they're forecasting it to get up to about 40 to 50 k's an hour around lunchtime, initially coming in from the northwest, which is a headwind down the straight, and then turning westerly in the afternoon. So we've got that side straight as well from about 1,000 to the 500. So I think you'll find that horses will be running directly into that in races like the shorts, and it'll be really interesting to see how jockeys go for position, and they'll obviously be looking for cover. But fantastic card at Randwick, and looking forward to some great racing today.
That is interesting, Nevesh. What about the rail?
So the rail's about 7 metres from the mile to the winning post and 4 metres the remainder.
Good on you, mate. Good luck.
Thanks, Gareth. Have a good day.
There's Nevesh Ramdani there with an update at Randwick. Always great to catch up with James Cummings here on the first week. Good morning to you, James.
Morning, Gareth. How are you?
I'm very well. You're going to quote Vincent O'Brien this morning?
Vincent O'Brien? Yes. Depends what topics we cover. We should get to the topics first.
Aetherian pandemic. Damien Oliver, did he have a choice here, or I'm reading too much into this, James?
No, I didn't give him a choice. I thought that he would suit the horse he's riding. And we're quite pleased with the way she's going. She's only had a relatively easy preparation for her first up run. And admittedly, she's coming into this off probably her worst preparation she's had since she was a spring three-year-old. But that's all right. She's come back a little bit more in the same vein as she was the preparation beforehand. And we think she just maps to get the perfect setup here to fire a shot.
Pandemic's got a wonderful record first up as well, and we know that he's talented. Is he ready to rumble?
Yes, he's had a solid build up. He's found things a little difficult since breaking through for his maiden stakes victory. But he's certainly going well. And he'll have a little bit to do from his barrier. He should eventually get a good run, but it looks a little bit tricky for him in the early stages. I'd say that he's look. It's a good little sprint race, and both our horses have chances of running. They're both chances of winning, and I think they're both prepared to run well.
In the 1,000 Guineas Prelude over the 1,400 metres, Heresy's back to the 3-year-old fillies, and she steps up to the 1,400 metres. Is that a recipe for success today, James?
Well, hopefully it is. Recipes are important to have.
Yes.
And we really like the idea that Heresy might be toughened up against the colt last start. It was a good opportunity for her to see Caulfield. And she see Caulfield again. And she raced. She's put two good runs without winning together now at Caulfield. And hopefully this is the opportunity back to 3-year-old fillies company with a good enough draw to get a little bit of cover. And she might not be any certainty to get cover, but she's a good enough draw to get the nice run and run a solid 7 furlongs right out, because that's going to be a good test for her. She's a filly that's bred for speed, and she's got a bit of speed about her, so she needs to knuckle down and be solid over the 7 furlongs for her to be winning this. Make no mistake, these are some up-and-coming fillies here that will be running well, but you can see by how much of an open race it is behind Heresy, who's got the enviable form for the race. But she can lay her 1,000 guineas claims down in this race, then she's going to present like a pretty serious filly for the spring.
The Caulfield Guineas Prelude, race number 4. My favourite of your runners today. I've just got a soft spot for him. Athalric, horse number 4. I guess the 1,400 metres, James, your thoughts there?
It's not exactly where we thought we would be taking the horse when he kicked off this campaign. But I must acknowledge that when a jockey's really, really adamant with me about where he wants the horse to head, I'm quite open to that sort of advice. And Ollie was really bullish about taking him this way. He loved the way he attacked the line last start. And I felt like the horse is sort of a little bit ahead of the market every run. I mean, he was underestimated first up and ran very, very well. He was underestimated again last start, and he just about should have won the race at Moonee Valley. He ought to be better suited at Caulfield. The barrier draw, probably not what we wanted. You know, I would have foreseen the cushy run being in the interests of Athalric, stepping up to 7 furlongs, which might appear to be a bit beyond him on pedigree. But he's racing like a horse that 7 furlongs shouldn't be too much of a worry for. And he's evidently giving Ollie a really good feel that stepping into 7 furlongs is the right way to go this time. These horses are, well, you know, this is a bit of a fork in the road for some of these horses in the spring, and it's turned out to be this type of race that Athalric could well and truly be competitive in. There's not the favourite for the Caulfield Guineas in amongst this field, so he should be running well against them, but I'd imagine that after today we would more than likely be dropping him back to 6 furlongs as we progress through the spring carnival. It'd be important to see him, you know, at least be able to raise up to these horses pretty quickly with the turn of foot that he's been showing in his first 2 runs this prep.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what he can do today. What about Brigantine? When did you identify that this was his path? Was it after his dominant victory at Randwick the other day?
Well, Gareth, we were forced to nominate him for the Caulfield Guineas quite a few weeks ago.
Yes.
And then he finds himself now having completed a relatively successful early stages of his preparation, winning 2 out of 3. So I'd say that it's not a complete surprise to see the horse land himself in an opportunity like this. He's been going well. He's got that form against the older horses. He's got a bit of class about him, this horse. He might not have the best change-up of speed, but he's got something about him, and he's worth following. So I can imagine him getting a good run here. He should be well-suited under the weight scheme. Of course, between Lightsaber, Cape Breton, Alpine Eagle, you know, these horses are pretty well established, and he's on the way up. But he can be figuring as a chance here because he's just got what it takes, we think, to make the next step.
Can you split those two today, James?
Well, I don't think it's as easy to split them as the market suggests. Put it that way. There's only a half a length between them in my mind, and the horse Brigantine looks like getting the better run from the draw. But that's certainly not to say that the race is going to unfold perfectly for that horse. Which horse gets the better run, I think, will be the one finishing closer in the finish.
While we're talking about the Caulfield Guineas, how's Adamo?
He's terrific. We're very pleased with him since he won the Run to the Rose last weekend, and he's just been enjoying training at the foot of the Blue Mountains ever since. We'll head towards the Golden Rose next weekend with a horse that we're all quite pleased with.
Do we have a rider for him yet if he does head to Melbourne for the Caulfield Guineas?
Oh yeah, you know, I think that'll more than likely be pretty straightforward. But I don't think that we need to get too caught up in that just yet, because he needs to, you know, get through the Golden Rose weekend and that's got to be his primary focus for the next 7 days.
I was just looking for an exclusive this morning, James, that's all.
Well, there's a jockey who knows horse pretty well.
Yes, yes. Sliders in race number 5, what are you expecting from her?
Well, you know, it's not often that we are keen to bring an 80-1 chance to the race.
Yes.
On a Saturday. But she won her first start with a bit of style. It was a quick race at Newcastle, only 900 metres. She's bred for speed. She's by Street Cross. And we've run her over distance that has just been a furlong too far for her a couple of times now. So it's time to bring her back to 1,000 metres. She cuts up against some pretty stiff opposition here. When you read out some of the names that are on paper here, you can understand why she's 80-1. But look, she's drawn barriers. She's got this amazing knack of drawing inside barriers. She's got to get a nice cushy barrier, a nice cushy run from the good draw. It's a strong pace. If she can't run well here at least, then she's going to struggle probably to win another one. But the reality is it's a pretty hard race for her to be winning. She's just not the worst 80-1 chance we've ever brought to the race.
What about Geist in that final race? Love what she did the other day at Randwick. Can she come to Melbourne and win again, James?
Well, she can. She's got no early speed, so she'll be spat out the back early on again. But there's hopefully going to be enough pressure because there's some speed in numbers up there near the lead, and that can just bring her right into the race and be a something of a trendy, swooping finisher from that sprint shoot at Caulfield that we often see late in the day at Caulfield. And gee, we like the way she's training since her second up win at Randwick. She beat a horse called King of Sparta there, who's been absolutely airborne in Sydney. Admittedly, he was four wide no cover in that race last start, but getting a result over that horse leaves her in pretty good form for making the step up back up to black tight level. Where she left off last preparation as a three-year-old filly, and it'd be a massive result for us if we can get some black tight with her this afternoon, and we certainly have her training like a filly who's capable of making that step again.
Up there in Sydney in the George May and the Group 1 Cascadian, should we have something small each way on him today, or should we wait for the Epsom, James?
Well, you know, if you really like the horse, and you want it, you back him in both.
Well, I will then, if you took me into it. Is he going well enough?
Okay, well, look, you know, the eternal optimist in me will give you the reasons why he can win this race.
Please.
Riadini's a key runner here because he set a strong tempo in the challenge the last start, and if he can set a strong gallop again, then that will allow the back markers into the race. He's at the moment mapped to be back there with Lions Roar and Hungry Heart, and with the Rail Out 7 and horses like Colding and Very Elegant up ahead of him getting good runs, it's going to be hard to do. And Riadini and Think It Over beat him home last start in the Chelmsford, but maybe he just didn't have a feeling that he was absolutely at his best there. His second up record, as we discussed, wasn't anything to write home about. And now he's here third up with a good. He's here at least third up, so on the pattern of his preparation, he's well set up. But he's got the outside gate. He's going to give them a bit. He's going to be giving himself a bit to do at the top of the straight. And of course, you know, there's the possibility he's a much better handicapper than he is a weight for age horse. But if we rely on his performances in the George Ryder and the All Age Stakes, then he's definitely competitive against these horses. And he can set himself up with a positive effort before he lines up in the Epsom next month. But in the first instance, he's got to get things right this afternoon, and he's got to be running well.
We'll definitely have a dollar each way on him after that assessment. James, what about Best of Days? Have you been happy with him in between runs? He steps up to the 2,000, of course.
Yeah, I have been happy with that horse between runs. And look, his form's all right at this race. I think that he's crying out for 2,000. He meets an interesting field here of Sydney form. And he's running run the fee and was a good run. Although there was a clumped finish, he still managed to race relatively well. So that horse, who only a few starts ago was just touched off by Holmesman in the Australian Cup, has to look pretty well placed, set weights and penalties here in the Kingston Town. And the draw enables Kieran McAvoy to be guaranteed a good run throughout. So he's entitled to run well. Might be a case of Kieran McAvoy just needs to, well, the guns are loaded. He just needs to buy the trigger.
Yes. Good luck, Kieran. It's up to you. Grafine is at 9.50 in the last race, and Valaquenta was impressive first up the other day at $13. Both each-way chances in the last race, James?
It's a very strong race, that last race. Yep. And if it had have been any other day, this would have been the race of the day. But unfortunately, competing with the George Main and the Shorts, you know, good luck with that. So these horses, these four-year-olds of ours are on the rise. Valaquenta has achieved a bit more than Gravina so far. And to give you an indication of how strong the race is, well, Valaquenta's coming off two straight Saturday victories that were impressive over sprint distances. And he's going to be getting the slingshot effect from back and off them in a fast run race around Randwick. And hopefully he can loom into the race and perform as strongly as he did last time when he ran in July and raced so well. He's just going to have to keep improving to be rising in the weights and beating these sorts of horses. Gravina, he's on the way up. Gravina raced very well as a three-year-old in the winter. He's got two Saturday wins next to his name before we put him out for a spell. And that horse has come back feeling pretty good. You might think he's only had a light build-up to this, but we've actually got him pretty forward, and he's drawn to get a very easy run. The rail's out 7 metres, which is important. It might not be the occasion to expect the horses right down the outside, as you tend to see at Randwick late in the day. He's got the draw to get the right run, and that horse is certainly going well enough to be upsetting some of the more fancy runners. He's got a bit of form to his name that would suggest it shouldn't be a complete surprise to see him figuring as well.
You got some nice chances outside of those runners. We just had a chat about Suave in the fourth and Cordy in race number two. I know Reggie's been working the house down as well at Caulfield. I mean, at Flemington, along with Sean Keogh. Did the Melbourne team have a best for us today, James?
Well, you know, I don't think they have an outright best. I think they're just quite pleased to have some horses going into the meeting with a bit of form. And they're very pleased with some of the way, you know, with the way some of these horses have been floating down to them from Sydney have been presenting. So
yes.
I don't know, I think they've got their tail in the air. And I think there's no eye in team today.
No.
It's going to be a matter of which one gets the right run, you know, and it'll be a pretty good, you know, pretty important fork in the road for a lot of our horses this afternoon, and we're hopeful for good runs.
And dare I ask, James, do you have a best chance today for us?
No, I'll stay, you know me, Gareth, I'll stay out of that.
But I thought I'd just
try to give you a little bit of insight, and hopefully you can piece together the ones that you like from the feedback I've given you.
Hey, you've been brilliant. Enjoy your day, James. It's always a pleasure.
All right, thanks, Gareth.
David Eustace joins us now. Good morning to you, David. Thanks for your time, mate, as always.
All good. Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you, mate. The Gouch, did you get enough rain overnight for him to be really confident in the first race?
Probably not enough rain, but we're confident that he'll, you know, first race he's going to have the most sort of moisture in the track, and that there's going to be all day, so he'll take his chance, and, you know, he's strict fit.
Drinking, driving, they're better apart.
On the first word on this Saturday morning at 7:31, let's catch up with Sam Freeman. Good morning to you, Sam.
Morning, Gareth. How are we?
Good, thank you. Big day for the stable this morning. Devout Hero and Exclusive Express representing your stable in the third in the 1,000 Guineas prelude over the 1,400 metres. What can you tell us there? Did these fillies wake up well this morning?
Yeah, they have. They have. They've trotted up sound. The temps are good. They've eaten up overnight. All the signs are good. Look, Elusive Express, a lot of her work, at least since she's been in Australia, has been very much on soft ground. All her trials and basically her first, you know, two starts have been on soft ground as well. So this is the first time seeing a good surface. So she might improve on a good surface, but she might also, you know, excel on soft track. So that's just a little unknown with her. Devout Hero, she's coming along really well. She was a good debut winner and was pretty stiff there at Sandown last time around. She'll just keep improving through this preparation. I think she's probably the pick of the two today. Elusive Express, where she gets to from the gate, I think we'll ride her with some cover. We're really wanting her to relax and switch off. We're, you know, looking to get her to a race like the Ethereal or the Wakeful.
Should we have something on one of those fillies today?
Look, I think, yeah, Devout Hero, I think you could, yep, could certainly back her to place at least, yeah.
Bit of noise around her today, so looking forward to seeing how she goes, Devout Hero. What about Forbes? Now, when he made his debut, there were people tipping him from Forbes to Franken, Birchip to Busselton, from Perth to Penrith. Everybody wanted to be on Forbes, and you looked home there at the 100 metres, and this horse out of nowhere jumped out of the ground, and it was Animo. If only we knew, Sam.
I know, you're pretty stiff to well clear of the field and get run down by a star like him. So, yeah, I feel like a little bit of a broken record. He's a very talented horse, this. It's, you know, as we know, it's largely, you know, whether he comes to play in terms of going in the gates and doing all of that. But he'd be one he'd be one that I think once you see him in the gates and settled, you can back him. Because he's got a lot of talent there, and I think if he is in touch with them on the bend, he's got a big turn of foot.
So this is a case where we're watching racing.com or Channel 7 and we're waiting for the very last minute. We just need Jai McNeil to put his hand up in the gates to give us the sign, basically. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the other day at Cranbourne, we sent him around there very early and he went in the gates. He stood in there for probably 10 minutes and... Actually, once he's in there, it's no problem at all. So, you know, Snowy behind the gates there, he knows the horse pretty well now, and we've had good discussion with him on the best way to get this horse into the gates. So, look, we've done all we can, we think, to prepare him for today. So hopefully it all goes well.
How much improvement in Lunacorn second up in race six?
I thought she would run a lot better than she did first up. Was pretty confident she was going very well and confident again that she's working the house down, but want to see her do it again. She didn't really touch the bridle there first up. She's normally a bit keen and fresh, and don't know whether we had her a little bit too relaxed. So she's woken up a little bit in her work, and at a big price and at her best, she's it wouldn't shock me to see her go very close.
In the Foundation Cup Race 7, Realm of Flowers, and also the Import Gallop at Delphi represent your camp. What can you tell us there?
Yeah, well, look, Realm of Flowers, obviously, yeah, heading towards the Melbourne Cup. She's just, she's going to keep improving through the prep. She's drawn an inside gate, so she'll just find her feet and probably work in midfield. And as long as she's hitting the line nicely, we'll be happy with her. Delphi, you know, he'll be up there near the speed somewhere, and I think he's probably improved out of his first up run, and yeah, I think he'll definitely appreciate the step out and trip. He's a pick of those two, definitely.
Is this his day to fire, Delphi?
Yeah, I think it's probably, I mean, it's obviously his best chance since he's been in Australia to feature in a finish, and you know, I think he's the sort of horse that can maintain his top speed for a very long time, so he needs a truly run race, and you know, the horse like No Effort in there, and you know, we'll be making sure that it's a genuinely run affair, and yeah, hopefully he can get a few of them out of their comfort zone from the 1,000 metres onwards.
With 52 on his back, can Groundswell win a Group 1?
We hope so, but there is two of Groundswell, so hopefully the right one turns up today. But he's, yeah, look, it's probably the first time he's carried a weight like this. He's been right up there in the handicaps for a long time now, so... He won't know himself with that sort of weight. And look, we'll be rolling forward on him. And, you know, there is a bit of speed in the race, but he's fairly one-dimensional in what you do with him now. So I think we'll make it a genuinely run 1,400 and hopefully can run a cheeky race, but he's going to have his work cut out for him.
Yeah. Try and lead and catch me if you can and see if you can hang on there in the Sir Rupert Clark Stakes. Well, we wish you the best of luck there, Sam. What about La Mexicana? We love this mare. She's as honest as they come. It's a really good race, that last race, however.
Yeah, it is. And she just came out of her last run. Her blood wasn't quite right a few days later, and she's a little bit flat for a few days. So we we sort of backed off her and freshened her up, and I think I thought she was quite relaxed for a while, but she's really woken up again probably in the last week or so, which is normally a good sign with her. So I think she can bounce right back to form. I know she ran well last start. I thought she was probably still a little bit below, you know, where we thought she would be. So a little bit of rain would definitely help her as well.
Your best today, Sam?
It's one of those days you could easily walk away without a winner. They're all sort of even enough chances, but...
Say Forbes.
I'll say, yeah, look, I think Forbes is probably the most talented horse there, so I'll go with him.
All right, then how's Pig and Mud?
He was online a few weeks ago, so that's a soft spot for me there, Gareth.
Okay, I apologise. I didn't see it. Good on you, Sammy.
There you go.
There's Sam Freeman there. It's all right, folks. We found him. He's safe and sound. Dave Eustace, welcome back.
Hi, Gareth. Yeah, sorry about that.
That's all right, mate. What about, we're talking about Fake Love. You gave the Gouch a really good push in that first race. And Fake Love, she goes around first up in race five. What can you tell us there?
Yeah, she's come back really, really well. Her trial's been excellent, particularly her second one up the hill at Caulfield. And yeah, if they trial well there, they generally race well. She's got really good gate speed, and I think she'll run a massive race first up.
All right, that's a great push there for Fake Love with Johnny Allen aboard. Grand Promenade and the Foundation Cup. The great Harry Coffey takes over here. Your thoughts with his chances over the 2,000?
Yeah, look, the horse is absolutely flying, obviously. His form suggests that. Gate makes it tricky. You know, he's going to have to do a bit to roll forward from there. He's just a horse who needs to be in a nice rhythm. He's obviously led quite a lot this prep. We don't think he has to lead, but he likes a good tempo, which he looks like there should be with no effort going, you would think, going forward from a wide-ish gate. So, you know, we're using this race as a nice stepping stone to the Bart Cummings. He should be very competitive, but I think the draw just makes it a little bit tricky for him.
He's had 17 starts for the one win, Amish boy, but his record, well, he races better than that record, Dave, and he's not without a chance today in the Group 1.
No, you know, largely the reason he's only won one race is because he's got a terrible record in drawing wide gates, and he does so again. We couldn't believe it when he drew wide.
Is that computer system?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's working against us, that's for sure. I'm a little bit not sure it is a computer system, but he's really well. The horse is absolutely flying. You know, his run over 11 was excellent and took probably a Group 1 performance from the back by Mars Crusader to run him down. In 1400 is probably his pet distance as well. He hasn't had a lot of goes at it, but his Magic Millions run was very good from a long way back too. So we're just hopeful that they go quick. And if they do that, then he's going to run really well. Just not sure there. Yeah, there's a good bit of speed on paper, but I just thought with the favourite drawing in, and that probably going to create a little bit less pressure. And if they just take a sit behind the leaders, then, you know, there might not be quite as much speed as initially thought. So we'll see. He's going to be charging late, but he probably needs them to be going 1,200 metre pace up front to run over the top of them.
Well, your good mate Sammy Freeman just joined us, and he did say Crowns Well will be ridden aggressively, playing the catch-me-if-you-can type of tactic. So there might be a little bit of pace on for your horse, Amish Boy, but he probably needs a Dean Yendall special there from gate 15. What about Bella Nipotina, mate? She's as honest as they come, and she's been in really good form this preparation. Can she win the last?
Yeah, we think she can. You know, we felt she was the best horse in the race at the Valley and got stuck behind the leader and wasn't able to quicken when she really wanted to. And if you can't do that at the Valley, then you often don't win and you get a hard luck story. So we feel she can bounce back. Her record at Caulfield is good. And She looked fantastic yesterday. I thought it was the best she's looked since coming back down from Queensland. So she's only improved for the 2 weeks, and she should be very competitive.
Your best for the day, David?
Looking forward to Fate Love returning. I really do think she's come back to better than she did last year. But I thought, you know, Bella was still a very backable price, in good form, right race. She should be hard to beat.
Love your work. Love your insight. Thanks for that, David.
Thanks, Gareth. Cheers.
There's David Eustace there. Michael Kent Jr. now joins us here on the first word. Good morning to you, Michael. He was there. Good morning, Michael.
Morning, Gareth. How are you?
Good, thank you, mate. How's Ayrton this morning?
Yeah, reports that Robin Chan was pretty happy with him last night. Haven't spoken to her this morning, so we'll await that with, yeah. Anyway, hopefully he's all right.
Yep, we'll cross our fingers. What about Daisy, the three-year-old filly? Can she cause an upset in the 1,000 Guineas prelude? She was pretty good on debut.
She was very good. That was a strong maiden. She missed a kick, which we didn't expect. Sat back, worked on very nicely. She's very stylish filly. We just took the view, it is a short backup, bit of a squeezy prep, but this race was lacking a little bit of depth, and we'd love to try and run a drum with her. Yeah, I mean, if she won, that'd be enormous for the owners, but if she won a place, that'd be fantastic too. So probably have to ride her just to finish off from that draw. But she is blooming. She looks fantastic. So, yeah, I think we've got it going well, and if things work out, she can run really well.
How did Ana Visto pull up after a brilliant first-up effort in a truly run race first up there at Caulfield behind the informed Chirath?
Yeah, it was. She's a super mare. She bounced through it. She's a horse that gets better during a prep, never sort of looks brilliant when she comes in, but she's, you know, we had to scratch with a bad barrier, but it's probably helped her. She's started to bloom now, and her coach is putting on weight. She looks brilliant. So, yeah, we're very happy with her.
Geez, that must have excited you then, with that in mind, how she performed first up.
Yeah, exactly. It's always nice when they run a PB first up. Bodes well for the rest of the prep, and that's the sort of horse she is. She was always going to keep improving. Big framey mare. Yeah, her gut was very good on Tuesday on the course proper. Got a better barrier draw for this race, which is really good, and she'll land right there. That's her style. She's hard to sort of take a pull on, so I think she'll be in the first three. And, yeah, she just wanted to lay in. I reckon that cost her the race almost. She might have won had she have gone on straight. So just added the lugging bit. Seems to have responded well to that, and John has got a good left hand if he needs it.
We feel for Streets of Avalon's connections, but it's great to see I'm Thunderstruck. I think everybody is excited to see what he can do in this Group 1 with 52 on his back. Michael, what are you expecting?
We can't have him going any better. He's airborne. So I'm sure he'll run super. He's got a devastating finish on him. Just whether that's good enough at this early part of his career from a bad draw, that's the trick, isn't it? He's going to be spotting the big distance, so just need the race shape to work out for us, I think.
So he's probably, the map just doesn't look good for him, but if he's 3-4 wide with a little bit of cover and then he comes to the outside, Michael, do you think if the pace is up, if it's a truly run race, he can finish over the top of them if he's close enough? What would he need to be, or what would need to have happened at the 400 for him to win?
Yeah, look, he's coming off handicaps against his own age, up against two heavyweight Group 1 horses and Bo Rosser, who's going well. But we think he's up to this sort of class. I actually think the barrier draw is better than had he drawn barrier 1, 2, 3 or 4. You know, he's got a big stride. He doesn't want to be checked in his run. Just we found when we let him find his feet, he can really unleash. So I think they need to go along quickly early, and there should be a good push to the first corner up the hill. And then it'd be lovely if they could bunch a little bit on the corner and he can creep up without doing too much work and not be too far off them. If they really string out, it might make it tough if he's too far back on the corner. But if he can be sort of within striking distance, then he's going to let down nicely. And, yeah, so we're extremely happy with the horse. He is going really good.
Can Knight Raid fire first up in the ninth?
Very even mare's race. She's had three jump outs. She's in magnificent order. Whether she's good enough to win this, for us, we think it'd have to be a personal best for her to win it first up. She's only a nice run, good barrier. So she's sound, her coat's bloomy, and I think she'll run a normal, honest race. I think she'd be in the first five, and just need things to work out for her.
You're looking forward to getting Parlophone back to nearly her favourite track there at Morphettville in the Wiley Handicap?
Yeah, loves it there. And, everything's sort of worked out well for us. She's drawn a nice gate. We think she's better at 1,100 than 1,200. And to be fair to her, she was in a much stronger race in the Cockerham against two sort of Group 1 type mares and was checked twice in that race. So didn't get every chance at all. She too is blooming. She could not look any better. She's arrived over there really well. And Jess knows it well too. So I think while she's out of a handicap, she's got 54 kilos, soft draw, and goes well over there for Jess. So I think she does tick a few boxes. In saying that, it's still not going to be easy to win, but she's a great each-way chance.
And how do you think Caulfield will play today? Have you been out there this morning, Michael?
So the course, Papa Gallop, was Sads and Lloyd, and I think Joe Bowditch and Mick Diesel was about a 4.5, so beautiful ground. It'll play really fairly. It's been in magnificent order. It's been playing well. I think there's rain forecast for 2 p.m. We'd love a good drop of rain before Thunderstrike. It only would help him, I think, if that inside could cut out a little bit, and he levels in any sort of soft going as well. So, yeah, that'd be nice. But I think it'll play fairly good.
You're a bloody star, Michael. Thanks for that, mate. Good luck.
No worries.
Especially in the Group 1. There's Michael Kent Jr. Joe Pryor joins us from Sydney. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Two strong chances there in the feature races at Randwick, but we'll start with Taxu in race number 4. What have you made of his form this preparation?
Yeah, look, honest and consistent. He definitely thing out of track, and he'll get that today. I think people will have a track that stays in the soft range, only just, but, you know, certainly helps those horses that can't run home in sub-34 sectionals, you know, and he's probably one of those.
In the Bill Ritchie Handicap Private Eye, he was devastating first up, and then he was down the track in the Theo Marks. But sometimes when they're first up at Kembla Grange in a preparation, you can nearly forgive them, Joe. It didn't quite work out for him.
No, it didn't. And, I think to be fair, third run back, and particularly after such a big first up run,
yeah.
I think we'll probably see him close to his best today. And, we're giving serious consideration, and so does the market, to this horse in an Epsom handicap.
Yep.
You're going to win an Epsom handicap, you've got to look pretty good in the lead-up 2 weeks here.
Looking forward to seeing Eduardo back in the races. I think everybody around the country is looking forward to the shorts today. How is your horse ready to go? Is he ready to go first up?
Yep, sure is. Look, we've seen a lot of horses come out of Queensland this year. And out of the Queensland Carnival, that is, and win first up. We've been seeing a heap of them here in Sydney, and he's another one of those. It's a bit of an advantage having wintered up there. He's done extremely well, 3 trials. And now if you're sort of selecting a horse to win this race on distance, he'd be obviously one of the main contenders, being a Group 1 winner at 1,100 metres. I'm really happy with him, and he'll run us a great race, but I'm sure.
Nivesh Ramdani was just reporting that the winds might get up to 40 or 50 k's today, so horses with cover will be suited. How do you expect this race to pan out for your horse?
Oh, look, he's probably unlikely to have cover. But it can work a couple of different ways when you get situations like that. All of a sudden, you can start walking in front and race. Yeah. So, look, I've got a horse who's got a set pattern. He doesn't have to lead, but he's always on speed. We might be changing that up today for some winds. So, he's going to come out of that wide gate, and Nash is going to assess the situation after 100 metres or so, and if he ends up in front of us, I couldn't be trying to be too cute on him today. I don't think that's duty.
It's going to be exciting. There's no doubt about that. Good luck, Joe. Thanks for your time, mate.
Thanks very much, Bob.
This is The First Word. You're with Gareth Hall. It's time to catch up with Simon Zara. Simon and Matty Ellerton were the kings of Geelong there yesterday after dominating that meeting. Hopefully that can continue on for the stable at Caulfield today. Good morning to you, Simon.
Good morning, Gareth.
Journey thoughts in the first race. Your expectations there as she steps up to 1,200 metres?
Well, that's probably the key. I think your best form's over the 12, and probably just sat up a little bit too long the other day. She got to sort of a nice quick run race, looks to be good speed, and she'll have a nice kick, so she's probably a good each way chance.
Can Prasado perform at Caulfield this afternoon in race two?
I thought his run the other day was outstanding. I thought the barrier probably beat him more than anything. I'm not sure if he would have beaten the winner, but he probably would have run the place. So looks a nice race for him. I reckon it's nearly the best I've seen him look. So, if he can get around that bend, I think he'd be right in the finish.
Is the key for General Bow back to 1,000?
Yeah, look, it looks better placed. I think just the 1,200 the other day, second up, and just wanted to overdo it a touch. So, back to the 1,000 in a race where they'll go pretty quick on paper. So I just thought he might get the nice sit to finish over the top.
And what about Good and Proper in race number 6?
Yeah, it was a huge run the other day, second up. Would love to be a mile, but 1,400, second up, and I loved her run the other day. I thought she was probably our best for the day.
So Good and Proper there, race 6, number 6. You're still counting the cash from yesterday, I guess, Simon.
No, mate, no. I didn't punt yesterday. That's why they all won.
Good on you, mate. Good luck.
No worries, mate. See ya.
There's Simon Zara. Adrian Bott joins us here on the first week. Good morning to you, Adrian.
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks, mate. Can Ferretti win first up in that first race at Caulfield?
Yeah, look, he's going well at present. So it was an excellent run there first up for him. So he's done well since then. He's come on nicely, and he's been pretty consistent for us. He's done well down there.
Do you expect him to lead?
Yeah, look, expect him to be positive. That's his natural pattern. He's got the tactical speed to do so. So look to adopt that once again.
Can Knight's Order win first up in the Foundation Cup over 2,000?
Look, he's retained a bit of residual from his Queensland campaign, so he's probably a bit more forward than he has been in previous preparations. But 2,000 metres, probably just a little bit short of his best. And as I said, he does usually sort of take a run or two to sort of get into get him into his peak fitness. But I expected a nice forward showing from him.
You got some nice chances in the George Main. Rio Dini with the blinkers on. It was an improved performance there last start. And Shout the Bar, we know her quality. Your thoughts there with those two?
Yeah, really happy with Rio Dini. Good to see him bounce back there last start. He sort of had a bit of interrupted preparation sort of leading up to that. So, sort of no surprise to see him come out and run as well as he did. I think he can sort of back up a similar performance, under similar sort of tactics and conditions. I think he felt he won last week. He took plenty of confidence out of that and had a good couple of weeks. And I'm really, really happy with him. And Shout the Bar, she looks enormous. She's probably still going to improve throughout the preparation, and she's still got to prove herself at this sort of weight for age level. But I thought her run was certainly very good for her first up, and she'll appreciate the step out tomorrow.
Outside of the Group 1, do you have a good chance or a best there for the punters today, Adrian?
I thought Swift Witness, she was obviously excellent there first up. She ran well there second up, and now looking forward to seeing her stretch out to the 400 metres. So I think she's a good chance for us today.
Yeah, in the T-Row Stakes Race 6, Stables on Fire. Good luck, mate. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Graeme Begg joins us now. Good morning to you, Graeme.
G'day, Gareth.
Geez, Non-Conformers hasn't had much luck this preparation, and I guess this is the race that you've really aimed him up at on the way to a Caulfield Cup.
Yeah, no, it's all been geared up towards today's race, and he's in very, very good shape. Hopefully he can bring his best form out today.
Where do you see him in the run? He should get a lovely run from that gate, you would imagine.
Yeah, hopefully it will be positive out of the gate and sort of try to roll forward and get him a chance to get into a nice position. The first probably half dozen somewhere there. Obviously it'll be probably a race where they'll sort of roll along early and sort of back it off. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's a bit of pressure come early in that race at the 1,000 metres or something like that. If you get on their bikes and get going. So it could be a pretty tactical sort of race.
Can you win the Group 1 with Romancer?
Well, he's in the best form of his life, so 52 kilos. It's a very competitive race. It's a really good race this year. Stranger things have happened, but all he can do, you can have your horse there in the best order it can possibly be, and he'll probably be the best-looking horse in the enclosure, I reckon, so the way he looks. But you never know.
All right, mate, we'll put him in our quaddy. Good luck, Graeme.
Cheers, bud.
Summers that is a big chance. Of course, the WA horse is at a big price here, but he's trained by the Gen Gem. He's wonderful preparers of a thoroughbred across there in the west. And just before 8 o'clock, we'll catch up with Michael Gen Gem. Good morning to you, Michael. Thanks for your time, mate.
Morning, Gareth. How are you, buddy?
Good, thank you. And the famous Amelia Park colours, can Samersnack get the job done today at a price?
Mate, we're hoping so. We do have a big opinion of the horse. He's done well so far in his career, and you know it's the next level now heading over there, taking on the big boys. But with a little bit of luck today, hopefully he can get the right run in transit. And if he does that, he should be hitting the line hard.
It takes a little while to wind up. Do you think Caulfield will suit him?
That's the big question, mate. I'd be a lot happier if we were at Flemington, but this race come around at a handicap and he got in with a 52, and you know that's the big question. If he doesn't handle Caulfield, we'll switch and detour to races at Flemington. But look, we're hoping so, and hopefully Froggy can get him around that bend right and then wind him up.
Whispers around town is that Crystal Spirit will be hard to beat in race 7 at Belmont.
Yeah, we've had a bit of rain over here, mate, and he absolutely loves the wet. So we're pretty happy with the condition he's in. His last two runs were super, and you know, with a bit of luck, he gets the right run also. He should be getting the line hard.
We'll get on. Good luck, mate.
Thanks, buddy.
There's Michael Gangemi. It's nearly 8 o'clock. In fact, it's right on 8 o'clock, so we'll get the scratchings out of the way, and then Johnny Bowden will be joining us with the news. But Sean Cosgrove, good morning to you.
Morning, Gareth. Ran a 60 entire circuit, a good 4, and a total of only 11 today. Race 1, take out 6, Von Goal, number 6. Races 2 and 3 clear, the 4th, Planet 5, Cape Breton, number 5. Race 5, pull a line through 2, Starry Legend and 10, Ashima, 2 and 10. Race 6, take out 8, Need New Friends and 12, Steel Diamond, 8 and 12. And race 7, the emergency, 17, Rostropovich, number 18, Constantinople and 19, Zarek out, 17, 18, 19. Race 8, pull out 3, Streets of Avalon, number 3. And race 9, 8, Miss Albania, number 8. No late riders, no late scratchings.